This is the Talking Split Podcast.
Welcome, coaches, to the Talking Split Podcast. I am Rob Coulter, joined today by the man that channels his inner Wim Hof, Nathan Cooper Brown. Welcome, Coops.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be here.
Zoe's looking like she has no idea who
that is. I
didn't
get that joke.
No, not at all. And of course, as you can hear, Zoe Carr, who channels her inner Daenerys Targaryen.
Now I get it.
Now you get it. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, Coops is a big fan of the cold shower. Zoe, not so much, it turns out. As a reminder to everyone, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you can follow along with the at Talking Split handle on Instagram, or what was formerly Twitter, now X. For those that you haven't seen that, Coops?
No.
I'm sticking with Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. Elon Musk has changed Twitter to X.
Right.
Now it's called. So check your app. It'll just be a little bit different now.
Shows how much I'm on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's, all those scheduled tweets you had from 6 months ago are just churning through.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
It's like Woolworths and Safeway. Still Safeway.
It's always Safeway in that space. We did speak a little bit last week about the All-State camp for the boys. Zoe, you guys were on the weekend. How did that go?
Yeah, it was good. We had a... about 110 join us at Traralgon, which is huge given, you know, geography of particularly the country athletes on the other side of town. So to have that many turn up was fantastic. And we had a plethora of coaches there, just from ranging experiences, ages, you know, all that sort of stuff, just trying to, one, get better themselves and then help the athletes get better, which for me was the biggest win of the day, was seeing how, well, I think we had like two or three coaches per basket, which was massive. Kennedy Kariyama came as well from Bendigo Spirit, which was amazing to have that kind of connection from, you know, our pathway and into the WNBL as well. So, yeah, it just made for a really good day.
And you are newly returned from the Under-19 Women's World Cup. What's your review like of that one? Obviously came ninth, which is not where you want to be, but what did you have out of that you learned that you can bring back to this program?
Defense. No. It's, yeah, look, not going to sugarcoat it. Ninth is not what we expect, or as a country, we don't go there to just participate and fall into that bracket. Now, some things went our way, some things didn't, and a lot more probably didn't go our way in terms of tournament play and things like pools and crossovers and things like that. You know, I would suggest everybody go have a look at the last 30 seconds of the Australia versus France game and tell us what you think. But either way, that's the nature of tournament play. You don't always get a clear run. You don't always get an easy run. You know, anything can happen and you've got to roll with it. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get the games that we needed to progress to the level we think we should have been or expected to be. From an on-court perspective, we've got to get our athletes to a level of being able to handle physicality in the backcourt particularly, but just ball handling against physicality. There were so many turnovers, I think, and across the board, not just us, but the turnovers at international level, like at one stage we said at halftime, you know, we are the other team's high scorer right now because their points off turnovers was something obscene, you know. So, and it was all off our errors, but forced by not being able to handle that kind of physicality that's, you know, and it's hard because where we are in the world makes it really hard for us to get international experience, to get to that level, to get used to it. Whereas, you know, I think we had three practice games and one friendly leading into that tournament. And I think Spain had already played like 17 or 18 international games before that tournament started. So, you know, the geography for us isn't doesn't help us and doesn't, you know, lend us into being able to prepare properly for those tournaments as, you know, the United States and Europe definitely have that advantage. So our on-ball and off-ball coverages need to be and it needs to be a variety. So I think we get caught in what is our one coverage. What the issue was for us in particular was that one coverage, when it didn't work, what do we do now? And not being able to just sort of seamlessly go through to find, or have one coverage for one particular athlete and then other coverages for others. That wasn't really something we were able to do cleanly. And so I think from a grassroots level, we've got to expose our athletes to a variety of coverages. Don't just switch. Don't just let them go under. You know, expose them to hedge. Expose them – oh, this is going to sound bad. Expose them to ice. Expose them to –
the Wim Hof ice.
Yeah, different one.
Expose them to things like nexting. And, you know, and if you don't know what these things are, please contact us and we'll arrange to either get some info out or get you down to a session or something like that. But, you know, all these sort of things, you know, expose them to you have one coverage for one athlete and one for the rest. So then, you know, that sort of thing can, I guess, evolve once they then get to that next level where the pressure's on. I don't blame the athletes at all. The pressure at a World Cup is like nothing you've ever seen. And so it needs to be something as states, associations, clubs, we're actually breeding the habit into them at this level where the pressure's not so immense. So then once they get to that level, then it can be a case of, you know, oh, I know how to do this. Yeah, I can just roll into it and make those changes. And
so how do you do that? Because we I would say preach, for lack of a better term, a lot of development and skill sets and those types of things. How do you factor, or how do you get that tactical play into the kids without overwhelming them while still focusing on skill development in the whole thing?
Stop worrying about winning. To be honest, and I know this is I know that's really hard to hear as a coach, you know, especially we've just come back from a tournament where we didn't really win. So, you know, winning, everyone hates losing more probably than they love winning, but winning is fun. That's, you know, we enjoy it. But at the end of the day, if exposing them to these sort of things that are going to help them in the long run, it's probably going to cost you in the beginning, especially in the beginning when you're going to those next levels. But it's got to be like, if we were, let's use on ball screening coverages as an example. If you go into straight into, okay, you're going to hedge on number 31, but you're going to blitz everybody else, you're probably going to run into some issues. You've got to build up to that. So you've got to build up each of the coverages as separate options, then start merging them together and layer it up. And again, it's probably they're going to score on you. Like, there's going to be breakdowns, because one of the biggest issues I think that we had was where we tag from out of. So it's not actually the coverage itself. It was off the ball as well. So those sort of things need to be, and they change depending on where the screen is, who's in it, who's where, you know, are we three-way switching? Are we, like, what are we doing? And all that sort of stuff. So I think layering it up, understanding and accepting before you start that it's going to cost you at times, championing when it doesn't. And when I say when it doesn't, what I mean is you could get the coverage completely right and they could still score. You've still got to find the joy in that, and you've got to get your athletes to find the joy in that. But yeah, I'm certainly not sitting here preaching that it's easy. If I was coaching a team as such, I'd find it really difficult. But yeah, if we can come together and try, look, I've got a list of things out of the World Cup, that I think as a collective, we probably need to do a better job of, and I'm happy to share that. But yeah, it's just got to be a case of that we're doing it as a community. We're not just doing it as one or two clubs are buying in and nobody else is, because at the end of the day, our teams don't come from one or two clubs. They come from a variety, so we all need to be on the same page.
So you hear that, Coops. I mean, you've been to a couple of World Cups and international events as well. You've got 17s camp that starts next week. I don't think we've actually congratulated you officially on the podcast as being the head coach of the
group.
Good job, Coops. Like, you just heard what you're in for.
Yeah.
But it's, how does that factor in now as you start to prepare for camp next week, which is your first selection camp? And similar deal, very limited preparation, especially with international basketball, before you get to go to that tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, the message there from Zoe talking about, you know, this is a community-based project that, you know, we aren't China. You know, the national team doesn't live together and train every day and play games and get looked after. And yes, a lot of athletes that make junior national teams are at the COE, but not all of them are. And so everybody understanding, you know, that is part of these athletes' community, part of their network, you know, you guys are playing a significant role in the success of that athlete and the success of the green and gold teams. You know, so we have a 3-day or kind of 3.5-day selection camp, and then we go to Doha, I think, 3 days early. So it's 6 days, and right now we're trying to get a friendly when we get to Doha. That may not happen. So we have basically a selection camp and a couple of days in Doha to prepare, and potentially will not play one game together, then with the expectation to win a gold medal at Asia Cup. So, yeah, we're, you know, from a green and gold standpoint, we are reaching out to everybody, and we are, you know, leaning on you guys to understand that you are a big part of this and that we need you. And from a personal standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, I'm trying to find ways to you know, start from the second floor, you know, utilize some things that the guys, you know, around the country are familiar with, that's going to make camp that much better, a system of play that they're going to feel comfortable in, you know, so it's not like starting from scratch, and hopefully that that will help counter the, you know, the lack of time.
Yeah. I think there's also a bit of a misconception too in our community of where other countries are at in terms of their investment in the sport, and, you know, how they're now treating basketball as one of their top tier, yeah, you know, sports within their country. Like, you know,
Mali is a great example of that. Yeah. Like, it is, yeah, the number one sport in that country now. Yeah. Like, it's not just you'll beat the African nations.
Yeah,
no, well, they're organized.
I'll be honest. You know, there's a lot. We copped a lot of flack for losing to Mali in that round of 16 game. 8 of those athletes live in Spain and play in Euro Cup. You know, like, it is, we're not playing what you think when you think of a country like Mali. That's not who we're playing. We're playing organized and skilled and unbelievably athletic players. You know, something that we don't mirror that. We don't mirror those sort of athletes. So, and they're just going to keep getting better and better.
Well, it's a hard spot. And I'll speak as someone not in the tent, so to speak. So from the outside looking in, what is the point of their junior national teams as well? And I say that knowing how a soundbite may sound, so I'm grateful we don't have TikTok. But it is there's an element.
Someone's going to clip that.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Like, it's, and probably me too, to be fair. But it's one of those things too where, are you going to those tournaments to try and win? Or are you going to those tournaments with the mind of, we're selecting athletes that we think could be future boomers and opals? And we spoke about a little bit last week, Coops on the Pod, about how do you pick for the best kids versus the best long-term kids, and how do you integrate some short-term kids in there to find the balance? But that's the hard part too, is you've got to have an eye on both. You're not necessarily just going to pick kids that are going to move the needle at one tournament. You need to have an eye on the future. Is, will this player potentially go on to represent the seniors? Because for mine, that's actually what our junior teams should be for. Like, we should, and don't get me wrong, we should try and win when we go to a national tournament. You wear Australia across the chest. You should absolutely be trying to win as much as you possibly can. But there should also be an element of, well, what are we preparing? Like, juniors are there in preparation for seniors, in my eyes, when I'm talking about this sort of stuff. So it's a difficult one to balance out too, because it's not as simple as just pick the best kids.
Mm. No.
And I just want to, can I just confirm, when you said soundbite, I went, ooh, we copped a lot of flack from keyboard warriors, not from not from other people. So I just want to put that out there. That, which, you know, and I know we've spoken about it on the pod, but it's tough too. You know, like, it's, we talk about community, we talk about doing what's right by athletes, and you know, picking for the future versus picking now. We try and do all of that, and that is still the response, knowing that, you know, we weren't sitting over in Madrid sipping sangrias and going, ah, well, like, we were gutted, utterly gutted, and had to try and find a way to rally, and equally, if not more so, gutted group of athletes that have sacrificed a lot throughout their lives to have this opportunity, and it's done, and they've still got to play it out. And they're reading that stuff as well, and they're seeing it, because people aren't, for some reason, aren't ashamed, and they should be, to attack young women. You know, say what you like about myself or the staff, whatever, we're adults. You know, it's still ridiculous, but go for it. But these young women, some of which are 17, and you're willing to name and shame them online and basically give them a life sentence for one tournament. And I find that hideous, and something needs to change within our community to stop that happening. I know Coops and I are constantly preaching throughout our country program with our coaches of, we understand that, you know, when you miss out on a job or something like that to someone else, the easy thing to do is attack that person or hate that person, or, you know, we've got to lift each other up. And I'm glad I wasn't in the country at the time, because I only saw a smaller portion of it. But there were a lot of people who should know better, doing a really good job of stamping down rather than lifting up. Well, and that was possibly more disappointing than actually losing that crossover game.
Well, I think that's probably the hard part too, is it's very easy to have an opinion. Like, and we all know it. Like, you're in the coaching business, for lack of a better term. You know you're going to be dealing with opinions, and everyone will have different ideas on what should get selected. Like, Coops, you're going to go through it. Like, you're going to pick a team, and I'm going to disagree with it just because I can. Like, for no other reason. But it's that kind of thing where...
I won't, Coops. Go, yeah. Coops.
But it's that kind of thing where, you know, as a coach, you put yourself out there for it. Like, it's you deal with some stuff. Now, should you have to? No. But you know you have to deal with some stuff with it. What I'd be really curious on is, people that have been through it before, are you willing to tip back in and try and help fix some of these problems that we're talking about? Or are you just going to be the bitter ex that talks about it and says, oh, well, back in my day? Well, that's not always helpful. Are you someone that's never been involved with it before, in which case you have no understanding of what goes on? It's very easy to sit there and say, this should be picked and this is what they should be running and why they're running this. Not that easy. Sometimes personnel dictates you can't run this. Like, I know we all go back to like the flow era of Basketball Australia, and you know, everyone was on the same page. And when you talk about starting at the second floor, Coops, well, we could. Like, when everyone was running flow, we could. But we haven't run flow as a nation really for...
Oh, but like apparently we were running. Like, apparently we were running. Yeah. We weren't, but apparently we were. But this is what I mean too. There's also, you know, people you say about, you know, if you haven't been involved in it, or if you have, you know, can we just... add a sentence into... I'm not saying people can't have opinions. Of course you can, because if we don't have opinions, then we lose accountability. And if we lose accountability, it causes chaos. So people can then just go and do whatever they want, whenever they want. That's not what I'm saying. But can we just add a little sentence in of, when we're, you know, sharing, and I'd suggest sharing our opinions in person with people as opposed to online, but... can we just add a little sentence that says, if all things are going well, I wouldn't agree with this, or I wouldn't do that? Because there are a lot of things, and I'm not going to share them here, but there are a lot of things on and off court within our camp that people didn't know about that affected things. And if you're not there, if you're not on the court, if you're not on the bench, if you're not at the accommodation, if you're not at practice, if you're not at any of those things, you have absolutely no idea what's going on. So just add that little sentence, like, you know, if all things are going well, I wouldn't have made that sub. And that's okay, because you don't know if that athlete's ran past the coach and said, I'm gassed, I need a break. So the coach pulls them out, and now you're up in the stand, or you're online, or whatever, judging that coach for actually doing something that is incredibly selfless from an athlete. You know, like that sort of stuff. That's the stuff. That's where I wish we could get to as a fraternity.
Or just don't post online. Like, is it really that? Like, yeah. What are you after? Like, clicks and likes? My opinions on social media have been very well publicised that everyone should stay off it. And I can just see Brent looking around the corner. Like, no. Like and subscribe to the BB page. But it's one of those things like, is this comment helping or hurting?
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing it for likes, well, you know, a little bit of clickbait in there for sure. but doesn't really need to exist. But I would also suggest that if you have opinions on these types of things and you have an interest in getting involved, get involved. Like, it's an open door. Like, yeah. Anyone can walk in. Like, Allstate Camp is always publicised. Just come down and have a look.
Yep.
You guys spoke about it last week with Giddy Daniels Cup on a Wednesday night. Come and have a look. Like, Absolutely. Zoe runs Saturday sessions. Come and have a look. Like, it's that kind of thing. Come in and get involved in it and then put your opinions to the test. Like, I know the first, like, I always had opinions on who should be picked in state teams until I went to a Nationals, saw it firsthand, and it's like, yeah, okay, this is why we can't pick that kid. Like, that, it makes sense now. So, until you are involved, it is a very difficult thing to actually, it's a very easy thing to have an opinion on. It's a very difficult thing to have a correct opinion on. And that's the difficult part. So, Coops, best of luck. You've just got a little bit of an insight as to what's coming your way.
But we're also not saying you can't have an opinion. No, you absolutely can, and you don't have to agree with there are times where Coops and I sit in a room trying to put a plan together and we disagree wholeheartedly on things and have to try and find a way to, you know, find a middle ground and all that sort of stuff. We're not saying you have to be robots and agree with us or, you know, this is a dictatorship or any of that. We're definitely not saying that. I'm just saying I think there's a better way about how we interact with each other or even about each other in the community.
So, on a happier note,
apologies.
a touch ranty. We did assign you 3 minutes for that, but, 17 minutes later, we're on to the next topic.
Yikes.
So, we did have a coach thank you during the week. I didn't mean to get, intro music for this, and I completely forgot. So, just imagine Dido's thank you playing in the background at this stage. We did have a coach come in. So, the coach shared out this week is for Joe Wood. And it starts with Joe Wood, what a legend. Great role model for both coaches and players alike, dedicated to developing whole-rounded humans and using basketball as that vehicle, ensuring that our youngest female players and the double bottom age teams are treated the same as the women she coaches with care, empathy, knowledge and passion. A truly excellent human who knows her craft and is happy to share with those around her. The coaches who work with her feel supported and empowered to be their greater selves. Very lucky girls program at Frankston to have Joe Wood involved in it, which is a nice story.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Good person.
Joey's a ripper.
Person. Very good person. So thank you very much. Again, a little bit of a reminder, if you do have anyone that you want to give a shout out to, more of that.
That's what we just spent the last 20 minutes talking about.
I can do some editing if you like. But it's that kind of thing. Like, if you do have a coach out there that you want to give a shout out to, please send it in. More than happy to throw it on here because we do want the coaches to get as much recognition as possible. We are getting to the point of the season. We're 22 minutes in and we're actually going to hit the topic of this podcast. We are going to discuss how to end a season with your team because we are in that point now where it's finals time for senior teams and our juniors are coming into that magical light at the end of the tunnel where we know that you may get 2 weeks off between season end and trials starting again. So some will be in a position where they are going to be playing finals. Some will be in a position where they've got maybe 2 or 3 games to go and then they're done for the year. So we're going to discuss a little bit how you would approach this last end of the season. So if you're in a position where things haven't been going so well over the course of the season and you're not playing finals, what would you focus on now, Coops? Like, how would you start to look at these last couple of games and what would you do in those games?
I love that this one came to me, Rob, after my most recent seasons, so I appreciate that. You know what, when you don't have finals, and it can be a little bit dejecting and you've really got to focus back in on your athletes. And number one priority is how do we make this the most enjoyable experience possible to get them coming back? You know, because it's going to be hard, you know, especially if you've had a really tough one and heads are down and, you know, maybe you've had a bit of adversity and you know, just one of those seasons. Yeah, how can we shift the narrative? How can we get some joy back into this environment? How can we get some rewarding connections and relationships? Some things that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're going to finish, you know, 2-18 or whatever it may be, that everyone's going to look around at the end and be like, man, I can't wait to come back next season. I can't wait to play basketball again. You know, basketball's, you know, the most fun thing that I do, you know, in my life. And, you know, there's a number of strategies around that. You know, firstly, looking at your court time spread, you know, looking at maybe your touches as well. Are there some athletes that maybe have got lost a little bit in the rotation, or maybe haven't got some shots up or haven't been involved as much? You know, can we shift some things around and get them more involved? Can you change the change your expectations a little bit? You know, try and find some goals that are a little bit more achievable, a little bit shorter in time frame that allow you to celebrate some little victories. So all of a sudden, you know, there's a lot more celebration, there's a lot more happiness coming, even though you may not win your last three games, you're still feeling like, you know, there's some growth there, that we are having fun, that we are achieving the things that we, you know, that we set out to do. And I think if you start there, that's going to be the best way to finish off those tough ones.
Yeah, what about you, Zoe? Would you be any different in that space? Like, are there any other strategies you can sort of think of?
No, I think Coops has hit the nail on the head. I think things like, you know, changing what wins are is really important. And I wouldn't wait until towards the end of the season to do that. If you're having a more of a losing season, you know, early days, you can do that at any stage, but changing what a win means, you know, little things like, depending on the age of the athletes, but, you know, little things like what you have at the academy in the Northeast Hub, I think it's called. Sure. And, you know, you've got like the little rewards, I guess, at the end of practice, where, you know, the captain's hat goes to the best leader of the session, and the I can't remember what the other ones are, but
there's the WWE Championship belt, which is for the highest free throw shooter for the course of that session. We have the gold money chain and ring for the person that wins the shooting contest during that session, and we have the gold chain with padlocks on it for the best defender during that session.
So good. Yeah. So I have to ask, has anybody ever won all awards?
Not all of them. We've had someone win two.
Okay.
They won the shooting, both the shooting contest. So they got the belt and the money chain. But yeah, no one's won all four.
Ted DiBiase styles?
Oh yeah, big time.
Would you let someone win all four?
Yes, I would. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Like if someone rolled in and is just like, nope, I'm taking over this session. Like, because there's, I mean, realistically, there's two there that we don't decide. So if you make your free throws, well, you win that one. And if you win the shooting contest, well, you win the shooting contest. Like, there's not much you can do about that. But the best defender and the best leader during that session. And what's been really interesting, actually, is kids that were traditionally quite quiet kids at the start have now started to show a little bit of juice coming through. It's like, nah, I'm coming for that one today. And it's like, okay, interesting. Let's see how this plays out. And you give them a couple of knocks along the way, and it's like, you don't make it easy for them, but it's like, no, they've bounced back. Like they've been pretty good. They talk, they direct, they lead a little bit more now. So it's kind of been a real interesting little social experiment. And if nothing else, I get to walk around the house with a championship belt for the other 6 days of the week. So it's, you know, not all bad from that end either.
But like little things like that can just change the focus of what training is. Because, you know, losing games isn't fun and the kids don't really enjoy it, but they'll always take a losing game over practice any day. So if you can focus in on making practice in particular, you know, more enjoyable with things like that, then yeah, it's something that can help make sure that they, you know, sign up to come back to the sport.
I think the other part too, Rob, is remembering about the long term, and whether you're winning or losing, you still have to have this mindset. But if you're not as distracted by the winning, you can probably delve a little bit deeper into and basically the responsibility you have to help those athletes at the next trials. And, you know, however long you've got, so let's say 3 weeks, you know, that's a lot of time to be able to sit down with your athletes and say, hey, you know, Johnny, you know, here's some things we felt like you've done really well this year. You know, you could potentially build on that to make that, you know, this your point of difference. Heading into selections, think you need to work on these couple of things. What we'll do is let's put a little plan together for these last 3 weeks, you know, and you can address them both at practice, in the game. And so not only have you given them some reps in those things, but also hopefully built a little bit of confidence, you know, and you should take absolute stock in the fact that, you know, that if those athletes do get selected and get selected on those things that you help, that's your job. Like that's what a youth coach is all about. So, you know, don't forget the role that you're playing beyond the end of this season.
And there's a big part of it too. Like as much as we don't talk about the wins and the losses, very rarely do kids come into it already deflated before they've hit the court. Like it's 0-0 when you walk in there. They're going to have a little bit of up and about them. And there are little like buttons you can push, I feel like, with some kids along the way. It's like, hey, we can't make like finals, but they can, but they need to beat us. So can we screw up?
Ruin it.
Yeah. Can we screw up their season? Yeah. Like it's amazing how often that gets kids a little motivated to, yeah, we can muck them up. Like it's, you know, this is a nice little scalp for us to get along the way. So I don't think it's a case of you just, oh, well, if you're not making it, don't worry about your wins and losses. Because I think they can still be there, but find different avenues to get there.
Yeah.
So if something hasn't been working, yeah, like it's that kind of thing. If something hasn't been working to that point, well, you get three hits at it to try and find a way that you can make it work now. And that's kind of the fun stuff. Like you get to experiment, and this is a fun time of year because you can muck around with some things where it's like, well, you know, our five-man's always been the five-man. I'm going to play him in the two this week and just see what happens. And I can probably tell you what's going to happen. you're still not winning that game, it turns out, because they haven't potentially played there all year. But that's the kind of thing, similar to what you're talking about, Coops. Now you can start to progress them, in particular if they're going from, say, a 14s to a 16s. That transition of position doesn't tend to be the same. Mm. You don't go from a five-man in 14s to a five-man in 16s. You go from a five-man in 14s probably to a two in 16s. Like the growth and maturation really happens there. So I think it's a good thing to expose them to it. Just give them a look.
I think that's a fantastic point, you know, especially the exposure of athletes to playing different positions. And again, importantly, if you've got an under 14 and the kid's 6'5", but you know at under 20s they're going to be 6'5", you know, can you start impacting that position change? And then also, just to prove that I'm listening to you guys when you're talking and not zoning out, you know, this is...
Who's that a message to?
I was going
to
say, is that a shot at us? Like it's...
How'd the pod go last week, guys? Was it all right?
Pretty well. Like Coops and I had a great conversation. Bestie on the other.
I was thinking about what Zoe was saying about the exposure to different things. You know what I mean? And this is the time to do it, especially if you've got an older group. You know, can you start throwing some different screen coverages in? Can you start doing some different things that may translate to some athletes that are going to get tested at the next level? Because you have the time and the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what about if you are making finals? What does it look like there, Coops? Like, do you try and tape your group off? Do you try and just sort of not roll the balls out and just sort of limp into finals, so to speak, and then really like put the foot down? Like, do you try and add new wrinkles into your... Like, what would you be looking at in these last couple of games if you know you are a playoff team?
Yeah, a variety of things, you know, ticking a lot of the boxes you just mentioned. Definitely want to be conscious of load. You know, is there a way that we can start to taper a little bit, but, you know, not let it get away from us? I'd want to make sure that the group was really good in our strength. So what is our point of difference? What are the things that we lean on, you know, that we want to be really locked into those things, knowing that they're going to help us with success? Maybe one or two wrinkles. I wouldn't go overboard, but having something, I know we've discussed this in the past, but having something that comes out of your original alignment, so it looks the same, but, you know, can obviously be a little bit different. You know, you'd be having a little bit of a think about who you're potentially matching up against. You know, is there some ways to start preparing, you know, particularly if maybe your first two you know, the teams you're going to play maybe in the last round and then the first round of the finals, if you know, it's mapped out for you enough, you know, both teams utilize an arrow press. So, okay, we're definitely going to hit, you know, press break, you know, quite a bit leading up. So, yeah, it starts with a plan, you know, it starts with sitting down and having a little bit of a think about, you know, what are the priorities for where we're heading and what's going to best impact our group to go as far into the playoffs as we can.
Yeah, what about you, Zoe?
If you're coaching under 18 girls, just hope that the opposition team has as many girls at formals than you do.
That time of year, it tends to happen a fair bit too.
Two teams in a row killed me.
What gets me is when they go to the ones they're not actually participating in. They go there as like just an observer. It's like, if you're in the formal, I cop that.
When,
like,
has that happened?
How many formals did you go to, Rob?
Yeah. And you shouldn't be observing formals. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
In that age group, a lot. I was very popular back in those days. But I've had players miss recently where they were going to a formal they weren't even participating in. They were just there watching.
Yeah.
I remember a very fateful under-18 boys semi-final, in actual fact, where one of their players decided to go to a formal he wasn't participating in instead of playing a game, and we got nailed. Like the one kid that he would usually match up on, who took us for about 35, and it's like, yeah, that's the matchup that's now sitting there doing like the electric boogaloo, like it's
wow. What was the question, though? Because I've forgotten now.
You were saying how you hoped that some of the players would be at formals. And is there anything that you would be doing this time of year leading into finals if you are potentially playing?
Yeah. So as Coop said, you know, if you're going to make any adjustments, they have to be counters to what you do. So you're not going to be able to put in a brand new set and have it detailed and executed properly in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so ready for finals. So if you can find little adjustments, I'd also be going back, especially if you film all your games. I used to film every game. I'd be going back and having a look, checking how teams defended certain things and have that sort of gauge as to what my counters can be or adjustments can be. Hone in on what my baseline out of bounds with 3 or less seconds to go would be for a 2, for a 3. Same with a sideline. Same with a, you know, a last possession offense. I need a 2, I need a 3. You know, all those sort of things. I'd have those to a point where I don't even need to think about them, but I'd also have them written down in my pocket.
And importantly with that as well, you want to try and find a way in your training sessions to get those in without the use of a timeout. Or to stop them, because there are times in games you won't have that timeout. You may, especially in finals, where you've probably had to burn a couple along the way because they tend to be back and forth. Mm-hmm. You don't always have the opportunity to either advance the ball and get it in your front court or call the timeout and get everyone positioned. Sometimes you're hoping and praying your players remember.
Well, and who it's for.
Yep.
And if they're out of the game, who it's for. And if they're out of the game, who it's for. Because sometimes you have to go to 3 or 4 deep to, you know, whether it be foul trouble, injury, illness, just not having a good game. You know, if your best player that you'd normally say, yes, it'll be run for them, has gone 0 of 15, are you still going to them again? Or, you know, all those things. Have them all laid out and decided on, so then when you come to the crunch, you don't actually have to think about it. That's already done.
Yeah. I think, like, part of that is just – not assuming anything, right? That we're not just going to kind of roll into the finals. Like maybe we're on a win streak and we're not just going to be able to roll, you know, kind of through the last bit of the season and through the finals. So, you know, are you checking in with your staff? You know, how's your assistant coach going? Are they prepared? You know, how's their life going? You know, are they, you know, are they being able to focus? And importantly, have you checked in with your athletes? You know, how are those guys and girls going? Are they confident at the moment? Are they down? Do they need, you know, a little bit of help, a little bit more support, so that everybody's kind of on the same page, everybody's feeling confident, everybody's ready to go and have a crack.
Now, I've never been in this position where it's been an issue, to be fair. What if you're coming into finals and you haven't dropped a game to that point? Where do you sit on the strategic, we might just roll that out on this one, and just give them all the little bit of a wake-up call before finals?
Very Phil Jackson kind of, I think, you know, you be the Zen master. I think that's where you do have to rely on your ability to take the temperature of your group, to be able to look and see and kind of say, yeah, okay, we've got something special here. I don't need to get out in front of this thing. I don't need to trip this up by trying to coach it. You know, I can sit back and roll it out. You know, we've got to the point where we've got great peer-to-peer coaching. We've got 3 or 4 leaders that are holding people accountable. We've got a high IQ group that knows what we're doing and can potentially find wrinkles or counters just through read and react basketball play. Got a couple of defenders that can, you know, take things away without being prompted. So there is definitely a world where you can just sit back, you know, scan and say, yep, We're cooking right now. You know, I'm not gonna get in the way.
I think something that's important with that though too is making sure when you're taking the temperature of your team, is the win loss record becoming a burden? And if it is, drop one. Like it's as simple as that. Like,
how would you drop one, knowing that you could upset the entire apple cart if you do it the wrong way?
It's little things that Coop's just mentioned then. It's also trying those new things that you were talking about, that we were talking about earlier.
And would you tell your players that? We're going to try some new things in this game and see how it goes?
I would say that we're going to try some new things. I wouldn't be saying to lose the game.
Yeah.
Like, no, they don't need to know that.
The point spread can be an issue for the bettors out there, so please don't do that.
But it'd be, yes, there'd be a warning that, you know, some things are coming in. And then ultimately at the end of the game, when you lose, then it's, hey, I put this stuff in. This is on me.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what you can tend to see is a little bit of an exhale of, okay, we've dropped one now. Now that pressure's gone, now we can just fire into finals and be ready to go. But what I would suggest is make sure that that game doesn't change who you play, where you play, whatever, you know, get someone into finals that maybe you don't want to see. Like, there's more strategy to losing a game in that sort of situation than just lose the game. Yeah, I think sometimes taking that, if that pressure of, and that pressure builds, unfortunately, from an environment you can't control, which is external. Other coaches, other players, parents, all that sort of stuff. So, oh, undefeated. We're undefeated. They're undefeated. They're undefeated. And all of a sudden it can build into a burden. So if that's starting to happen, then, yeah, I know it's a weird thing to say, but I would suggest, you know, let that happen when it doesn't matter versus, you know, the devastation of bowing out round one or round two of finals and diffuse that before you get there.
Yep. So how would you, so three games to go, how would you tackle a game where you're playing someone in these last three games that you're also going to see in finals? Do you roll out the whole thing? Do you keep some things tucked away and just like, oh, we'll try this for a couple of possessions, see how it goes. Oh, it works well. Excellent. You're not going to see it again. Like, what would you do in that situation, Coops? Do you roll out the whole thing or do you just sort of play it a little bit safe, thinking win-loss probably won't matter too much?
Yeah, everybody's favourite answer, it depends.
That's going to be on your tombstone.
It is, yeah.
Here lies Nathan Cooper Brown. And it depends. It depends.
Yeah, there's no depends once you're in the ground. Like, it's you are just in the ground.
I like that kind of question mark on whether I'm down there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's kind of, really like messing with people.
Finn?
Yeah.
Question mark.
You say Coops three times in the mirror, he just appears behind you.
My afterlife sounds kind of funky right now. I'm liking it. Look, it depends. And it depends on your group. And some, you know, some again, like really good group together, high IQ. You know, we're working on things at practice. We feel really comfortable. We can knock them out in a game, you know, when it matters. Yeah, I'm probably being a little bit sneaky with it. I'm kind of keeping some things in the back pocket and showing them a different version. Other teams, I know I need the game reps. I know I need to see them execute this, you know, with a crowd, with the refs, with a little bit of pressure. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter if the other group sees it because we've got to get it down from, you know, from our own perspective. So, yeah, so it's really on, you know, who I can rely on in those instances.
Yep. What about you, Zoe? Any different?
That's story time, if you like.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I've actually forgotten which button it is. It has been so long since we've done
sure
that.
I'm pretty sure it's bottom right.
It is. Yeah. I knew it was bottom right or bottom left because bottom left
loved
is,
it, Robbie.
Is still separate. Oh, we haven't changed it over the years. Yeah, it's been a while.
So I was coaching under 18 girls many moons ago and we were playing – there's pretty much a straight up top three, Bulleen, us and Melbourne. And we'd played – Melbourne early in the season, lost by about 20. So I sat down, watched the game and figured there was probably about six adjustments we could make that I think would have meant we will win the game. So we came in towards the end of, so the back half of the break, so the when you get into the top 10. And we played them, I think, the second last game before finals. So I only changed three of them and we lost by four. So then we played them first round of finals, so like 2 weeks later, and we beat them by 15. So I think you can make some adjustments, don't make all. Or if you're going to make all adjustments, do it in small bursts just to see if it works and then pull it off and save it in your back pocket for when it comes time, for when you really need it. if you don't need it. If you need to win that game, well, then, of course, you have to throw everything at it.
Yeah, for sure. What does an exit interview look like? So your season's ended, positive, negatively, either way. What would an exit interview look like? Would you do an exit interview? Would it just be written feedback that you give to the player? Like, how would it look for you, Coops? Would it depend a bit on the age group, I'm assuming?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, in terms of, you know, the complexity of the questions and also, you know, what are the answers? You know, what am I looking for? I want to know how they felt about the experience. So, you know, if they enjoyed it and or they didn't, you know, can we get some feedback around that? So, you know, are there some things that we can change? Obviously, that ties into I want to know the kind of job that I did. You know, what sort of person was I in being there to support them, to create a high challenge, high support environment, you know, to be able to clearly communicate. So getting that feedback, I think, is crucial.
And that's more for yourself.
Yeah.
I think you need to take something out of that as well. Would that be fair?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because, again, we're thinking about the long run, knowing that, you know, I'd like to think that I'm going to coach for a long time, you know, whatever it may be. And that athlete feedback is going to be, you know, probably better than any feedback I'm going to get anywhere else that's going to impact the next lot of kids and the next lot of kids and the next lot of kids. So I absolutely want to know that. Talk a little bit about some X's and O's. So, you know, what were some things they thought that we did well? What were some things that we need to improve? And again, that's probably a little bit more for me around getting more of an idea of what they're capable of. You know, what can they execute? What did they find enjoyable? What sort of tactics related to that group? And then the last part would be, again, kind of trying to set up a plan for the future. So have them go through an awareness piece. So what did they think they did well? What did they think they need to improve in terms of self-assessment? You know, I would probably add a couple of things if they didn't hit them. And then could I give them maybe 3 to 6 dot points on, you know, some takeaways? Okay, well, here's where I think you need to work on, or here's a plan, maybe strength and conditioning, whatever it may be. So yeah, it's kind of like a bit of a tapestry of us and them.
Yeah, and I like that idea of they have to come to you with some stuff
very
as
much
well,
so.
Rather than you just pushing all the information on them as to here's what you need to do better or here's what you did really well. A bit of self-reflection, I think, is healthy for players in that space.
Yeah, I think it's so, so important. And again, you know, I think we're going to have to get an awareness button on there, Rob, because I say it so much.
I don't know what I'm going to go with that one. We'll see how it goes. Don't make me tap the sign.
Yeah, pretty exactly. Is that our second Simpsons reference or our third?
We're killing it.
Yeah, no, crushing it today. You know, without giving the athletes those moments, we're not valuing self awareness, and it can be learned, and we need to take a big responsibility in developing that. So anytime we could put it back on the athletes to sit there and self-reflect and write some things down about themselves and create, you know, some plans about themselves. It's so beneficial for life, both on and off the court later on. So, yeah, in anything like that, and I know I think I said this last week, I've said it before, I'm always, you know, if an athlete comes up to me and says, oh, can I have some feedback, I immediately just turn around and say, well, what do you think you did well, or what do you think you need to work on? And that's a big part of that exit interview.
Yep. What about you, Zoe? How would you construct them?
I think for juniors, I'd probably give them an opportunity to do it in survey form, because I think under 18s and below are probably going to just regurgitate what they think you want to hear,
yep,
rather than actually tell you the truth.
Wait, so all those kids that told me I was awesome?
Yeah, they're lying to you.
Oh.
Yep.
The world is just shattered.
I know. I don't know where to go with this.
There are some kids. There's obviously some kids that, you know, especially if you've got a relationship with them, and there are some kids that will look you in the eye and give you the honest truth. But overall, I think more, especially with the way kids are these days in terms of their reliance on technology and screens and things like that, that face-to-face conversation doesn't happen as often, particularly uncomfortable ones, which that is an uncomfortable situation for a young person. So I think I'd exactly what Coops is saying, all of those included, but in that sort of a, whether it be survey form or something like that, so they can feel comfortable enough to be honest, even if it's, you know, confidential or, you know, anonymous. We love the world of anonymous at the moment. So, and get them in the habit though of being able to deliver that feedback, and just sort of, it's not something I think you can just expect a kid to be able to do, and do properly. Obviously, once you get to seniors, it's a different ball game. You've got to be able to sit in that room with the coach and deliver that, not only deliver that feedback, but also take that feedback as well. Especially because, you know, that's where, you know, things like contracts and money and stuff come into play as well. So different rules, I think, for juniors and seniors.
Okay. Think back to your playing days, okay, when you're a junior basketballer. What is the best end of season breakup you went to, knowing full well that Pizza Hut The Works will have to be top three in everyone's lists?
And don't exist anymore.
And don't exist anymore. They do in a couple of select country venues. We saw more kids throw up out of like The Works end of season breakup just because they thought, oh, you can eat pizza, how good's this? And yes, I can put ice cream on top of my pizza, and this is a great decision. Like, who wouldn't? You know, we all had the little Pepsi cups that were filled with straws and pizza crust and some pasta got in there and a little bit of salad that someone picked up at something. Like, we've all seen those. What was the best end of season breakup you had, Coops?
Wow, so many to choose from. Probably because I'm so into F1 at the moment. I probably... going back, think about go-karts.
Yeah.
That was all time. Yeah. So I've still got a scar on my thumb from when I crashed. So I'll always
in
remember
a shocking
it.
Development. Yeah. Coops took it too seriously. Yeah. and crashed. Yep. Trying to win.
Every now and again he gets on East Link and just looks down and goes, yeah, I'll back off.
Yeah.
Like it's, I'll take this corner a little bit slower. So what about yours?
Mine was probably, we had a breakup in under 12s at the coach's house, which doesn't sound like it's a lot of fun, but those that know me well know that I love strawberries more than probably any other food. And there was a bowl of strawberries and I went to grab some and the parents were like, no, that's not for you. No, you can't have them. I was like, oh, okay. So went away, waited for them to leave, went back, ate the strawberries, and the juice was pretty nice, drank the juice. Now, turns out the juice was port and I was under 12s and blind. And when the parents found me and realised what had happened, they were mortified. And ultimately, it's not their fault. I was told no and I went and did it. But I had the best time. We were dancing, we were laughing. It was great. So that was probably, you can cut that out if you need to.
Why would I cut that out? That's a fascinating insight into the world that is Zoe Carr.
But that was a fun night. We really enjoyed it. We still talk about it today. Other than that, in more age appropriate, I'd probably have to say, you remember the... rollerblading or roller skating place in Eltham.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was called. Yeah, whatever that was. That was a fun time, yep. Especially because we went there at like nightish sort of time. So they had all the disco lights on and all that sort of stuff, and then they had all the little arcade games and things there. That was an absolute vibe.
Because that
very much enjoyed that.
Yeah, that reminds me straight away. I used to love the time zone lock-ins.
Yeah.
On like a Sunday morning. Like that used to be the breakup, and like you'd be fighting with everyone else to get on NBA Jam at the same time. And you were trying to get like the best team. And it's like always went with the Sonics. Like it's just how I rolled, or maybe Portland every now and again. But that was like a pretty cool breakup that we also had. Best present you've received as a coach. Okay, because this got thrown out on Twitter last year where someone who was the team manager of their child's team said, look, people out there, I need a present for our coach at the end of the season. I have zero answers other than this one. So I think I went back with like if you've got someone that's into photography or something like a picture of them coaching would be a really nice one. I remember my little under 12s a few years ago gave me a book with a picture of all the kids in it, like an individual picture of those kids. And they had a little note of just saying thanks for the season and what their best memory of the season was. And one of them was like when we didn't have to do penalties. another one said it was a pleasure for me to coach him. And it's like, you know, it's those types of things that. But
kids
I still look back
on
that.
Are awesome.
Yeah, they are the best, aren't the they? Cards are the best. I've got to be honest. Like
I'm the same. Yeah. Give me a card any day of the week with just some nice words in there, and I'm more than okay with anything else. But is there anything else that really stuck out to you, Coops, from your years of coaching?
Probably one to cut out. It was a nice bottle of whiskey, but.
I mean, if the other story's staying in, I think they can stay in.
So that was one. I guess probably because of the level was getting a green and gold jersey that was signed by all the athletes.
Yep.
That's
pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Zoe, what about you?
I think I'd have to say, not that I'm... it's not a me gift, but it's a good gift, and I'll explain why.
Here we go.
They gave
this could be anything.
They 1 year they gave I was given like an orchid flower, like in a pot to sort of plant and keep. Now,
before you keep going, what's the over under on days alive for this
orchid? I was thinking seven.
Yeah, no, I'm not even sure it lasted that long. I'm not even sure it lasted the car ride home. But my point on why that's a good gift is that's something that you keep. If I was better at horticulture, then I would be able to look at that, you know, years later and think about that team and remember. Now I just look at the empty pot and think about that team and, you know.
It's also where all her hopes and dreams go to die, like this empty, unfulfilled pot.
But I think things...
Over under on the word horticulture being said again on this podcast.
Never again.
Horticulture, baby. but I think the I think things like that, things that, you know, I think we often get, I'm certainly not discrediting these gifts because any gift is lovely because you've taken the time to think of someone.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
But, you know, you get the movie tickets, you get the bottle of alcohol, you get the that. And once it's done, it's done. Whereas those sort of things, it's like, you know, whilst I joke every time, and it's at my mum's house, every time I walk past that empty pot, I think of that team. So it's like, you know, those, if you can think of those sort of things, and if you're unsure, I would always suggest if they've got a partner or a brother or a sister, ask them because they'll know, you know. I think I had someone come to me about a gift for you and I said, get him Euros because we're about to travel, you know, like that sort of stuff. So things that, you then end up getting value for your money and you know that they're going to enjoy it.
Not to you win something that can also be used for itself. Like we are about to travel, so get him Euros. Like genius move by Zoe.
Which stays in my bag.
Yeah, exactly right. That does wrap us up for the pod this week. Zoe Coops, thanks very much for jumping on. Coops, best of luck next week at camp. So we'll obviously not have you on the pod next week. We'll have Bestie back in. Best of luck. Hope it goes well, and we will criticise from the outside as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No worries. Coaches, best of luck with what remains of your season, and good luck going into finals or wrapping it up, and we'll catch you all next week.